This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3656, from Monday, the 8th of August, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Importance of Small Toy Projects. It is hosted by Norrist and is about 19 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, toy projects are a great way to learn a new language and a project I did just for fun.
I wanted to do a quick episode on toy projects, or maybe a programming exercise or project or something you want to do that isn't necessarily important, or maybe not even usable by something else, but it's something you want to do. And a lot of times, you know, call them toy projects because they're small, but a lot of times they're fun. So it's something you want to do and something you would enjoy doing just for the sake of working on the project. Not necessarily, you know, a lot of times toy projects do solve a problem, but a lot of times they're more about the process than and less about the problem they're actually solving. So there were a couple podcasts that got me thinking about toy projects and sort of why they're important. And I'm going to tell you what they are, but I'm going to tell myself a little bit. I've been thinking about doing this episode for a while, so that some of the specifically this first one, the first podcast, is from the Talk Python. It's an episode of the Talk Python podcast, and it's going to be, by the time this comes out, it's going to be over a year old. So that's just sort of how long I've been making notes and thinking about this episode. But anyway, if you haven't listened to the Talk Python podcast, it's a really good podcast. They always have a lot of good guests, and it's obviously about Python, but it's a real easy listen. And you know, I'm not a Python developer. I'm just sort of a Python hobbyist, but I can always follow along with what they're saying, and it's a lot of fun. But anyway, in episode 327, they had a panel of Python users, and it was, you know, from Python professionals to other professionals who use Python on the side, and they were just talking about how some small things they did in Python just to sort of make their life easier. So if you want a podcast recommendation, Talk Python, specifically episode 327, and Hacker Public Radio episode 3558, the host talks about learning Haskell and says something like, I won't get the quote exactly right, but it's something like, finishing a small project is better than starting a big project and not finishing it. And also that you can't learn to code by watching videos or reading. You need to practice. My sort of recommendation for if you want to learn to program, or if you want to pick up a new language, you probably already know this, but one of the best ways to start is with a toy project. So you start thinking about a small problem you have that you want to solve, and then just start. It's not going to be right at first or good at first, but if you just start working on it and banging on it, eventually you'll get something that works, and then you can redo it, and you can do it over and over again. Every time you do it, you can think, well, I could have done that a little better. So you can go back and refactor bits and pieces here and there and make it a little better. And then if you decide to take a project you've done and redo it, you're practicing. You're learning to code, you're writing better code, but it's also an opportunity to learn some new technology. So if there's a Python library or a different language or something you want to use, that's a good opportunity to incorporate these new pieces of tech in a sort of a rewrite of a project that you've already done. So I'm going to tell you about a toy project of mine. And it's definitely something I've done and redone a few different times. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, just like you probably listen to a lot of podcasts. And I've been listening to podcasts for what I think is a long time, primarily Linux and tech related podcasts. And, you know, I would think about, sometimes I would be reminded of a podcast episode, and I would go back and that, either the podcast was gone or the website was gone or the podcast, you know, they stopped making episodes or on and on and on. But I'm sure you're familiar with the term pod faded, and it's just where a podcast just ends. Sometimes it's announced. Typically, when you say a podcast pod faded, that's usually that was an unannounced, sort of unintentional ending of a podcast. But I thought it would be fun to look at the podcast that had pod faded and just sort of see if I could track the release cadence of a bunch of different podcasts, you know, the podcast that I was interested in, and then rate how, if they were pod faded. So in my head, I can decide, okay, if it's, you know, if they're a podcast that usually releases weekly and they've missed 1 or 2 weeks, you know, they're sort of, maybe they're getting in a little danger or something like that. That's the sort of things I was talking about. And one of my original ideas was to be able to use some sort of search API to find the podcast or the podcast that I would be interested in. So using the Google APIs or something like that, search the web for RSS feeds. So my plan to search the web didn't really pan out. It was harder to do than I thought it would. So then my second idea was to look at specific networks of podcasts. So, you know, there will be a group of podcasts that will sort of join together into a network. And I'm sure you're all thinking of examples. So my sort of second idea was, okay, use Python to scrape the web pages of these networks and then load all those RSS feeds into the database. And then I can use the feeds that I found by scraping these network pages to determine if the show had pod faded or not. So I was using Beautiful Soup, which is a Python library specifically for parsing HTML documents. And it makes it real easy. You can sort of treat an HTML document kind of like a database and just kind of step through the different tags and stuff that are in there. Once I got the data using Beautiful Soup, once I gathered all that data, I built a web page just sort of listing out all the different podcasts. And then, you know, by my own determination, if they had pod faded or not. And I would use the Jinja templating engine and Bootstrap CSS. And then based on some logic that I had written in Python, you know, if I determined that it hadn't pod faded and everything was fine, it would be green. And, you know, I'd have different rules for, you know, if it was a weekly podcast versus if it was a monthly podcast or how long it had been, is it getting close? It could be, maybe I would color it as yellow. And then finally, if it hadn't released an episode in 6 months, or if it was a weekly podcast and it missed like 5 or 6 episodes or something like that, then I could say it had pod faded. And then I would use the Bootstrap colors to display that podcast as red. So there were some problems with that method. One was, since I was using Beautiful Soup and I was scraping each individual network, every network had a different page layout, so I had to write a custom script for every podcast network, and that works fine until it doesn't. So, you know, I can't control what some podcast network does with their web page. So anytime if they, you know, moved something around or added an advertisement or tweaked their menus a little bit, whatever, it would break the script. And sometimes it was easy to fix. Sometimes it was hard to fix. Sometimes I couldn't get it fixed. And sometimes I'd have a podcast network that I was watching for changes, and they would change their website so much that I would just give up and stop monitoring them. Another problem was it took a really long time to run. And then, like I said, it was way too much trouble just trying to keep up with, you know, a few different podcast network, all their web page modifications. That just became so I decided I wanted to redo the project. And really, basically, I was just going to have to start over. And since I was starting over, I thought to myself, well, you know, now would be a great time to, you know, simplify it and also maybe learn some new tech. So one of the processes I wanted to learn is test-driven development. And I'm not necessarily advocating for or against it, but I at least wanted to work a project using test-driven development. And just a real quick overview of what that means is, you know, whenever you write code, you can have a test to make sure that code is working correctly. So in test-driven development, before you even write the code, you write the test. And then, you know, you write your test, you write your code, and you work on it until the test passes, and then you write another test, and then you write the code for that, and you work on it until the test passes. And it kind of forces you to, you have to write your code a little differently, and you have to think about your code a little differently. And it's, you know, having code that's well tested, you know, one, it probably makes you write better code, but it also, one of the primary reasons I like doing it is I don't consider myself a very good developer. So if I have a project and I need to make some changes to it, I'm always scared to do it. I'm a little nervous about doing it. But if I have something that's working, that's always better than something that isn't working. You know what I mean? So having a well-developed test suite sort of gave me the confidence to make a bunch of changes, because I could make a small change, run the test, make another small change, and run the test. And as long as my tests were working, then I knew I was going to be okay. So another big change I wanted to make to the project is I just wanted one script, right? I wanted to simplify things. I didn't want, you know, one script for this network and one script for this network. Trying to do it as simple as possible. And then I also wanted to, something I hadn't done before is the embedded audio players. I wanted to be sure that, you know, whenever I finally built the HTML, that there would be, you know, the ability to play podcasts from the web page. So one thing I decided to do was, instead of, you know, scraping a specific podcast network or trying to search the internet for RSS feeds, I just said, hey, there's curated lists out there that already have, where people have put together a list of their Linux podcast or whatever. So I said, I'm going to start with these lists. I'm just going to, instead of making a custom scraper for that page, I'm just going to use I'm still going to use Beautiful Soup, but all I'm going to do is find all the links on there. And then I'm going to take all, just every link I can find and test it. Is it RSS feed or not? Then if it is, throw that into the database to use later. So instead of having a complex web scraper, I just throw everything I can at a RSS feed parser. And if it can parse it, great. And if it can't, just throw it away. It's garbage. So the three places that I'm currently getting podcasts from are the Ubuntu Wiki. It's got a podcast page. The Ubuntu Wiki has a podcast page. The LinuxLink.net has got a page of just podcasts. And then sort of a friend of HPR, freeculturepodcast.org. So those are the three places for now I'm getting podcasts. Now, I'm open to ideas about where to get more podcasts, but again, I'm trying to avoid like automated lists. So, you know, I'm specifically avoiding things like podcast search sites or Apple Podcast search or something like that. On the other hand, if you know of a web page that contains a list of Linux or tech related or hacker related podcasts, I would definitely be interested in finding that and adding it to this project. Now, on a side note, I know the HPR show notes is probably a really good place to look. So it's sort of in the back of my mind as a to-do item is to figure out a way to look through all the show notes, because there's show notes out there that contain links to listeners and contributors' favorite podcasts. So I think that's a really good idea, just something to have in mind. So after we find all the RSS feeds, we test them and to see if they're actually an RSS feed, not just a link to something random. Then I've got a script called feedinfo that loops through all the feeds. It uses the feed parser Python library. And the feed parser Python library it's kind of like Beautiful Soup, but specifically for RSS feeds, where you can sort of programmatically look through an RSS feed and pull things out like titles and enclosures and things like that. So I'll use that library after I find the RSS feeds. I'll use the feed parser library to pull out the title. So I'll take all that information and I'll build a web page, and I'll still do a little bit of rating, whether or not I think the podcast has pod faded, and I'll give it a color, red, yellow, green. The logic isn't as complicated as it was the first time. But there's I do keep a copy of the web page up on the public internet. I'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's podfaded.norst.xyz. It's currently running on a free tier of one of the big cloud providers. So I can't guarantee it's going to be there forever, but as long as the free tier is free, it will definitely be there. So I'm definitely welcome to feedback. I'll have a link to the GitLab page where I host the code for this. I'll have that link in the show notes. I've got a couple of bugs that I'll be working on, where sometimes I will, unfortunately, I'll have to exclude some podcast links because there's links that look like valid RSS feeds, but it turns out they're just ads. But sometimes those excluded podcasts will still show up on the page. And there's other little bugs here and there in the HTML. And like I said earlier, I'm looking for more places to pull podcasts from. You know, I don't necessarily want a podcast search site. And, I'll definitely look into using HBR show notes. But if you know of any other pages that just list out podcasts, especially if they're Linux or hacker related, that's something I'd like to include if you know of any. The HBR submissions page says it doesn't allow inline HTML. I thought it'd be nice if I could, since it's just HTML, if I could put a little code snippet of the HTML into the show notes and you can see what it's like. But instead, I'll just grab a screenshot. I think that'll work just as well. Well, that's it. Short episode on why I think toy projects are important and an example of a toy project I worked on. I think it's a good idea for if you want to contribute an episode but you're not sure what. Think about a project like this that you can maybe walk us through what it is, how it works. I'd love to hear about it. And I'll see you guys next time.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org.
Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, you can click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.